are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Polomsky. And we left last time in April, and we're still in April, and we're starting with the care of the plants and the care for annuals. Tender annuals started indoors should gradually be hardened off before planting them in the garden. Hardening is a procedure that prepares indoor-grown plants for the rigors of the outdoors. Reduce watering and set them outdoors during the day. Bring them inside at night. Continue this for 3 to 4 days. If the temperature drops below 50 degrees Fahrenheit, take the plants inside. After 4 days, allow the plants to be outside all day and night. After about a week or two, the plants should be hardened off and ready to be transplanted with a minimum of shock. Alternately, place plants in a cold frame for a week or two, monitoring the temperature and adjusting the cold frame cover accordingly. Some annuals will produce hundreds of seedlings from last year's flowers. Look for volunteers of Cosmos, Clomia, Impatience, and Melampodium, Silk Flower, Vinca, and others. Thin out the seedlings or transplant them to other parts of your garden. As you remove cool, loving leg spurs, shake the plant over the soil to scatter seeds. Alternatively, shake the seeds over a sheet of newspaper, collect them, and sow them next fall. In the coastal plain and warmer parts of the Piedmont, other cool season annuals can be removed to make room for warm season annuals. Prune or shear alyssum and lobelia after blooming. This will make them look neater and encourage them to produce more flowers. Remove spent flowers from snapdragons or other crop of flowers. The blooms will not be as large, but they will provide garden color. For bulbs, when the flowers fade on your spring flowering bulbs, cut them off to prevent seeds from developing. Don't cut or remove the leaves, which should be allowed to die naturally. Overcome the urge to braid the leaves or tie them into a neat bundle. For edibles, to keep the cauliflower curds pure white, loosely tie the long outside leaf onto the flat, open head when it is 1 to 2 inches across. Hold the leaves together with a rubber band until the head is ready for harvesting. Continue to harvest asparagus in the mountains until the spears become thinner than a pencil. Root crops must be thinned, no matter how ruthless this practice seems. Thin beets, carrots, onions, Swiss chard, and turnips, so you can get 3 fingers between individual plants. Lavenders and sage can be cut back in the spring as new growth begins. In both cases, do not cut below the point of new buds. with lavender, this is usually 6 or 8 inches above the ground. Sage can be cut back lower still, provided you leave at least one pair of healthy green leaves on each stem for whose bases the new shoots will appear. Shearing lavender after the blossoms fade will also help keep the plants compact. For lawns, mow cool season lawns frequently, removing no more than 1/3 of the lawn height at a time. Leave the clippings on the lawn. Before St. Augustine grass comes out of dormancy, lower the mowing height to remove the tops of the dead grass blades. For perennials, clean up plants and flower beds. Pinched perennials produce more but smaller flowers than plants that have not been pinched. Pinching will stagger the bloom period of plants, particularly garden mumps, and will prevent them from growing tall and straggly. Plants that respond well to pinching include asters, bee balm, garden mums, spotted Joe Pye weed, pink turtlehead, autumn joy sedum, and others. And for roses, divide dormant miniature rose bushes that have produced a lot of woody, unproductive growth. Dig them up, then gently twist or cut apart the clumps. Trim any old woody growth and replant the divisions like new bushes. Loosely tie climbing roses to trellises with broad strips of material such as soft twine or nylon. Use a figure eight tie between the canes and the trellis so that the tie won't put pressure on or otherwise injure the cane. Do not use wires. They can damage canes. Last year's mulch may contain fungal disease spores that can infect your rose bushes. If you haven't done so already, apply fresh mulch to blanket the old mulch. Keep the layer between 2 and 3 inches thick. If you prefer to remove the old mulch, apply it to other areas of the landscape not occupied by roses, or compost it. Prune roses to buds that point outward. This encourages good air and sunlight penetration. Dark-colored canes indicate dead wood. Cut back an inch below these darkened areas. If the center of the cane is discolored, cut back further until you see white pith. If there are no live buds, remove the entire cane or branch. For shrubs, do not be too quick to pull out shrubs that are damaged by cold. Cut back dead branches above the ground, but leave the roots in place until June. Sometimes it takes a few weeks of warm weather for the new shoots to be jump-started into growth. Check mulched areas and replace or replenish where needed. If you aren't sure of the extent of winter injury, wait until growth begins before removing dead wood. Prune spring-flowering shrubs as their blossoms fade. Prune out dead, damaged, or pest-ridden branches first. Avoid using heading cuts to prune them into mushrooms or meatballs. rather use thinning cuts to remove renegade limbs and to accentuate their natural shapes. To prune forsythia, quince, sweet mock orange, nandina, and other multi-stemmed shrubs, cut off a few of the older central stems at ground level so new ones can spring up and take over. Prune azaleas only if they need it after they bloom. Thin wayward branches. Cut back branches that have just a ring of leaves at the top. And for trees, avoid bumping into tree trunks with your lawnmower or whipping them with a nylon string trimmer. The resulting wounds can be colonized by fungal diseases or infested by borers, which can eventually kill the tree. Repair the damaged or broken central leader of your fir, pine, or spruce to return the tree to its natural pyramidal shape. Begin by developing a new leader. Start training established trees and large shrubs with proper pruning cuts when they're young. Prune only small branches. If you didn't plant a high-quality tree with a strong trunk and well-spaced branches, you may have to prune regularly during its early years to improve its structure. Wait until they've had one full growing season before pruning them. Follow these proper pruning rules. Cut the branch, but not the branch collar. The collar is a swollen area at the base of a branch just before it enters the trunk. It acts as a natural barrier to decay-causing organisms. Do not make flush cuts close to the trunk. These cuts create wounds to trunk tissue, which lead to decay. Never leave a stub. Stubs usually die and are entry points for decay-causing fungi. For vines and ground covers, if sweet peas are heavily mulched, their roots will be kept cooler and their season prolonged. Use rough plant litter or grass clippings for mulch. A little shade at midday will also help maintain the quality of the flowers and prolong the blooming season. Remove the pods, which inhibit flowering, unless you want to save the seed. A few weeks after the last area freeze, bring your mandeville outdoors. Before planting, set it in a shaded location for about a week or two. Move it to a partially shaded location the following week. Then plant it in a partially shaded location out of the hot afternoon sun. Fertilize every other month from spring through fall with a soluble houseplant fertilizer such as 20-20-20. Prune wisterias, Carolina jessamine, and other spring flowering vines after flowers have faded. For water gardens, if you didn't cut back the dead leaves from your marginal plants in the fall, now is a good time to remove them before or as the new growth emerges. Compost the trimmings or recycle them in the vegetable garden where they can be mixed into the soil. Continue to remove fallen leaves and any floating organic debris from the surface of the pond. And our next topic is watering. For annuals, keep transplants well watered and mulched to help them get settled in before summer's heat and humidity arrives. For bulbs, spring is usually a wet time of year, so supplying supplemental water may not be necessary. If you have to water, keep leaves and flowers dry. For edibles, the first few weeks after planting and transplanting and during the development of fruit or storage organs are times when plants may be adversely affected by storages of water. Be sure they are watered well. Be sure they are watered well. For lawns, newly seeded, plugged, or sodded lawns should be watered frequently as the seedlings emerge and the sod knits into the soil. Gradually water more deeply and less often. Water established lawns as needed. 1 inch of water per week is adequate on clay soils. Apply a half an inch of water every third day on sandy soils. For perennials and vines and ground covers, keep newly planted perennials well watered during the first few weeks to help them get quickly established. Water any newly planted vines or ground covers. Check the soil in the root ball regularly and water it when necessary. For roses, shrubs, and trees, to prevent water from running off, it is helpful to create a temporary berm or dike around newly planted roses in clay soil. Remove the berm when the roses become established. Whenever you irrigate, keep the leaves dry to reduce the growth and spread of diseases. Sometimes it's necessary to create a temporary berm or dike around newly planted shrubs and trees in clay soil to prevent water from running off when watering. Remove the berm when the plants become established. And our next topic is fertilize. For annuals, if you fertilized at planting with a slow-release fertilizer, you may not have to fertilize until midsummer or later, depending on the fertilizer brand and formulation. Follow the label directions to learn the desired amount and frequency of application. Fast-release granule fertilizers can be applied every 4 to 6 weeks during the growing season. Plants can absorb liquid fertilizer through their leaves and roots, and they will have to be applied more frequently, typically every 2 weeks. For bulbs, fertilize summer bulbs when new leaves emerge, using a single application of a slow-release nitrogen fertilizer. Instead of a slow-release fertilizer, you may use a balanced fast-release nitrogen fertilizer, such as 888 or 10-10-10. An application every month or two during the growing season may be necessary to satisfy the needs of dahlias, gladiolas, and lilies. Avoid over-fertilization which can encourage the production of leaves at the expense of flowers. Let the appearance of the plant guide you. If plants look robust and are growing in a well-prepared fertile bed, fertilizing may be unnecessary. For edibles, apply a nitrogen-containing fertilizer to asparagus to encourage the production of large ferny growth. Research has shown that the bigger the top growth, the better the yield. Side dress young garlic plants when the new growth is 6 inches high. Side dress Irish potatoes when the sprouts begin to break ground. And for lawns, do not fertilize established cool season lawns at this time. Wait at least 2 or 3 weeks after your warm season lawn has completely greened up before fertilizing according to soil test recommendations. For perennials, apply a slow-release fertilizer when the new shoots emerge. Follow the label directions regarding the amount and frequency of application. Water afterwards to make the minerals available to the roots. For roses, fertilize once-blooming roses in early spring before growth begins. Repeat blooming roses should be fertilized only if necessary. Evaluate the growth and appearance of the plant to decide if fertilizing is necessary. When using a fast-release fertilizer, time your application after each flush of bloom. Only 1 or 2 applications may be necessary during the season if you use a slow-release fertilizer. Refer to the fertilizer label for the rate and frequency of application. Water afterward to make the nutrients available to the rose. And for shrubs, for blue flowers on your mop head and lace cap or French hydrangeas, maintain a soil pH between 5 and 5.5. An acidic soil increases the availability of aluminum, which turns the flowers blue. Apply aluminum sulfate or sulfur to reduce the pH to this ideal range when you see new growth emerging. Wait until next month to do this in the mountains. And for trees, fertilize palms with a slow-release fertilizer having a 3-1-2 analysis, such as 18-6 and 12 or 15-5 and 10. Apply according to label directions. Palms benefit from fertilizers that also contain magnesium and other micronutrients such as manganese. This is particularly true of palms growing on the outer coastal plain where micronutrient deficiencies are common. Broadcast or scatter the fertilizer under the canopy or over the bed area. And for vines and ground covers, fertilize ground covers and vines based on need. Vines may not need fertilizer if they look robust and are vigorously growing. Excessive fertilizer may encourage leafy growth at the expense of flowers, and vigorous vines may become unmanageable and require excessive pruning. For water gardens, Fertilize bog plants with aquatic plant fertilizer tablets when new growth emerges. Instead of the tablets, you can use a slow-release nitrogen granular fertilizer following the manufacturer's instructions. Avoid spilling any fertilizer into the pool. Feed hardy water lilies once a month with the aquatic fertilizer tablets pushed into the soil when the water temperature goes above 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Keep the tablet about 2 inches away from the rhizome or tuber. And our next topic is problem solving. For annuals, watch out for aphid and white flies on China asters, impatiens, and other annuals. Damping off can still be a problem on indoor seedlings. Use sterile seed starting medium and avoid overwatering. And for bulbs, inspect the leaves of your bulbs for aphids and spider mites. Dislodge them with a strong spray of water in early morning, giving leaves plenty of time to dry before evening. When iris leaves appear thin and limp, check for iris borers. These grub-like insects can ruin an entire planting if not detected and eradicated early. Eggs overwinter in old dried iris leaves and other debris. They hatch in mid to late spring when the tiny larvae crawl up the young iris leaves and feed, producing telltale notches. Then they enter the leaves, producing pinpoint holes as they slowly mine their way down toward the rhizomes, and borers leave a ragged, water-soaked tunnel in their wake. When you spot such a tunnel, squash the borer inside by pressing the leaf between your thumb and forefinger. Alternately, spray your plants with an insecticide when the leaves are 5 to 6 inches tall. Hand pull winter annuals such as common chickweed henbit and Carolina geranium to prevent them from reseeding. A shallow layer of mulch will suppress them. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anadine Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and we hope you'll join us soon. Thank you.